Welcome to the official Leverage Redemption After Show, a very distinctive podcast. I am Yael Teagle.
I'm Felicia Michelle.
And today we are discussing a storm of an episode. I don't know what that means, but I'm doing it.
Well, we might want to get swept away in episode 13. So before we get into that part though, more games, more exclusive interviews, and of course predictions and questions from you guys.
Yeah, so let's head into the studio before the rain starts because we are talking season one, episode 13, The Hurricane Job. How did you feel about this one?
I felt happy that I was in my nice, dry, and warm clothes as I was watching this. My heart literally went out to not just the character, but the actors, because they were getting soaked.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine, like, trying to, this, like, literally splashes of water, especially Parker in that lighthouse.
Right. I love the rain. I don't like a hurricane. I don't like a storm.
Oh, like the rain sounds.
I like to be in the rain.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like a summer rain is nice. This is excessive.
But it was really fitting, though, and it made perfect sense. I don't know if the writers knew ahead of time that this was going to be the most active storm, like, season, tropical storm season on record, and they were in Louisiana.
Right.
It was hit really hard last season, so I don't know if they knew that, but it kind of made sense. I was like, yeah, Louisiana, tornadoes, hurricanes.
Right. We've heard from the writers and directors and showrunners of this show how difficult it was to work through all
around
the storms.
That, yeah. But so, I wonder, in writing this, did you guys have a clue?
I think, yeah, they were like, we're going to put this into the episode. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was a really clever way to tell this story. I feel like the storm really helped tell the story because otherwise it's a very...
It's its own character.
Yeah.
In the story.
It adds to the levels and layers of the story.
And it's the whole reason why, you know, our bad guys are trying to move at this very vulnerable time for everyone in the area.
Yeah. So I love, you know, the use of this the Beacon Inn, this little place. I think it was so fun to explore this little world. It's almost like a bottle episode, but... You know, they have the whole island and we still have Sophie and Harry at home. I really like this idea that we have the low tech way to communicate.
Oh, my goodness. The radio. It was like, first off, I thought to myself, I need to take like a quick like survival instinct something, because if I wouldn't know how to work the radio. My granddad taught me how to work the CB radio.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that now. I have no clue. But the ingenuity of our team to find the radio. And then when it broke, I was like, no, we need that. We need that.
Yeah. I realized that I do not do well in natural storms, natural disasters. I would not survive well.
The interesting part of that, it's like, it's really everyone needs to get home. But why are you bringing more people here to the boat?
I love the part when people keep showing up and the bad guys are like, why are more people here? What's happening?
Well, it was super strange. Well, first, you know, you're opening up the episode and we are just literally like, let's call it what it is. We're seeing like police brutality because this police officer is just like beating this guy up.
Right.
We don't understand. And that was lost on me until the very end of the episode, obviously, when all the pieces are put together. But seeing that like poor like hotel owner, he just was like, no, make them comfortable. Super pushover, but which is funny because I've watched him play other characters that are not pushovers at all.
This character of McLeod, who ran the Beacon Inn, he was very funny. Like, he's just this guy who's like, you can't leave people outside, we're in a storm.
Welcome. Name's McLeod. I own the Beacon, so make yourself at home.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, there's a door that I haven't told them about. Like, this guy's...
Oh, yeah. Like, you can go right through
super
there.
Super chill as he's like, whatever. There are people overtaking your place and forcing you into... And he's like, whatever.
I think he just thought, in his mind, riding the storm out, period. And if that meant a literal storm or just these people being in his space for a bit. Because unbeknownst to him, the trouble that, you know, came his way was because of, you know, his dear worker. And, you know, she didn't even realize that this is what was happening.
Yeah, I think You're right. It was very much a riding the storm.
It's like, oh, they'll be out soon. It'll be okay. And then I also keep in mind, too, they had the benefit of the doubt being actual police officers. Like, we are actually police officers and we're all here now. I don't know what y'all.
Yeah.
It was a little weird.
I think McCloud has the life motto that I think I should aspire to of like, well, we'll get through this. And I'm too
I don't think, anxious. I don't know. Stay you.
Stay golden. Stay anxious. I like this kind of McCloud and Roxy felt like family.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Roxy Jimenez, hotel manager. Sorry that you're not here under better circumstances.
You know, they work together. She's been there for many years. And Omar, her brother, also feels like family. And I think you're right. The beginning of the episode, which has the assault on Omar, is kind of confusing how we get to the storm and where we're going. And then it all ties in really
because, like, smoothly. What does this guy getting and then taking the phone? I'm like, what does this have to do with any of this? And because in the universe of, you know, Leverage Redemption, you can be so many different types of horrible, you guys. It's like you just don't know what direction it's going to go in. And I would never have guessed that this is all about
a lottery ticket. I know.
And also, too, like, why was this the hide-in place for the lottery ticket?
Yeah.
Ma'am?
Yes. I want to talk about Maria's appearance on this because, first of all, it is the return of U.S. Marshal Maria Shipp. We all know how much I love when a character comes back.
It's funny that she's like Ship and her and Elliot are in a ship.
I ship it. I ship the ships.
Ship the ship out the ships?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I loved her return. I like the way he brings her into it. I like the way that he, you know, she knows who Parker is. That is his coworker and family, basically. And that's essentially what she knows about them. I like her being in on the con without knowing it's a con and not knowing what they do. I just love everything about her being in the dark but still doing it.
The funny part was that one of the concerns was Parker doesn't like you. Which it was a very relatable thing because you want, like, if you like somebody, you, like, want their friends and their family to, you know, to
absolutely.
Like you. Well, some people. It's nice. Not necessary for me, but it's nice. So it was just so funny that it's just she doesn't get Parker. She doesn't know Parker.
Well,
to know that if Parker didn't like you, girl, you probably would have blew up like 3 episodes ago. Your car or something would have been gone. She really felt like you were just like horrible, no good, rotten. And also, I don't think Maria, because she doesn't understand what the team does, she doesn't understand how many times she's actually helped them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for anyone on the team to have any issue with her. And they always tease Elliot about like liking her and like talking to her and their, you know, budding romance.
Walkies only work on a short range cycle, can't modify one. And Abel smells like Drano.
You must be Parker. Elliot told me so much about you.
Every true serum known to man.
Don't, that's Parker. You don't talk about work.
It's interesting at the end, Parker says, you were right, I didn't like you. And then she's like, you were right. Because I don't know that it's like, I feel like Parker maybe didn't trust her yet. Because you got to earn that trust. And so it wasn't that she didn't like her, it's that she didn't.
I mean, Parker is trust issues. Like, if that's one thing, if we're doing like, okay, real fast, characters, okay, Parker,
Vents
and trust issues.
Yeah. I want to talk, speaking of Parker, about the fight sequence in the lighthouse.
Okay. Beth, you did that. That was like...
amazing.
And because it's also, it's moving. And we know that this was a structure that wasn't very sturdy, you know? So cause it was even said, like, you put it in the lighthouse, like, you went up there? It's not structurally sound. And also, we're in a hurricane.
Right.
Still. And hurricane winds are extremely strong and powerful. Not just the water and it being wet and rainy, but it's Mother Nature. And she ain't to be played with.
Right. Seeing that whole fight sequence, it really is a nice reminder of, you know, as we saw when the series began, like, Parker is growing in her other skill set and she is learning her fighting skills. And now she took on, I believe, 3 guys in a lighthouse in a hurricane, and there's one entrance.
One entrance, one exit.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
She
get it.
Killed it.
And retrieved the phone.
And got the phone.
Yep. And got the goods. She understood the assignment.
She did. I really also love, we can't not.
I know what you're going to say.
Talk about Harry in the hospital and the ER reference. It's the moment we've been waiting for. It took 13 episodes and it was the moment we've been waiting for. And it was perfect.
And then they're like, oh, well, how do you know how to do that? He's like, you know, you watch a couple TV shows.
You learned it from TV.
It was just nice because it's, again, it's like those little tiny things that get put into the show that if you know, you know. And if you know, you know. And if you know, it makes it even a better experience for you.
I'll tell you this. Even as someone who has not seen ER, I was like, this is ER. This is the ER sound. This is the ER. This is ER. We're doing ER.
BP's low, let's give 2 liters of fluids and CBC and run a full blood panel. Why, this man's eyes aren't even? Somebody give this man a CT scan and a full set of labs, stat!
Ah, discharge time, Mr. Salina. Oh, hey, let's take a look. Oh, you still need one more test. I'll just run him down to radiology.
No, I already got
it. Do you want to be responsible for this man having a subdermal hematoma? Do you have any idea how difficult it is to get those stains out of clothing?
So let's talk about that ship a little bit longer.
So for Maria, I think it's weird. I don't know. Do you think it strikes me odd that she keeps dealing with Elliot because her job is to find answers.
Right.
And the fact that their relationship has even progressed to this state is just like, how?
Yeah. So she says to him,
you stayed and fought for them and kept fighting no matter how tough it got. And that makes you good, no matter how bad you think you are. That's good enough for me.
So I think at this point, she still thinks he works for some agency that she's not aware of.
Mm.
But she thinks that he thinks of himself as a bag, which we know he does. He does. He does still consider himself.
He struggles with that.
Yeah. So I like that she, you know, believes in him and she sees that he's a good guy and that he has a good heart. And that's really what matters. And hopefully, eventually, that is all that matters. But
fingers crossed. Well, the other thing too was at the cops, like, who took this? Like, you lied to all of your friends and told them that the reason you're even doing all this is because their jobs and their livelihood, their achievements, accolades, whatever about themselves is in jeopardy. And it's a lottery ticket, and you weren't going to tell. Like, when his boy found out, he said, you weren't going to tell? Oh, no. I'll share the money with you. You ain't going to share nothing.
Right.
This guy's not even going to get a Cracker Jack box of peanuts or nothing. He's not going to get anything.
I thought about it, and I think that in his mind, aside from he wants to keep the money to himself, he was thinking the only way to get them to help me is to tell them that they're at risk.
And then I'm going to, you know, ixnay all my friends. Goodbye.
Right. The fact that he was going to burn the place down.
Which to me would be like, how are you going to explain that all of these people were in one location? I mean, which criminals aren't geniuses, even if they are police officers. Right. They can still be not that smart.
My question was, how are you going to explain this fire
exactly.
in a storm?
Like, with all this water around.
Well, as you say, they're not always geniuses.
That's what it is.
But, you know, we are. And we're going to talk more about that, I guess, after this. It was a dark and stormy episode, so you might have missed some things. Luckily, we've got Kate's Easter Egg Corner to fill us in.
In the hurricane job, the lighthouse in the episode is an actual lighthouse, and it took us forever to find it until Randall Groves, our art director, actually went on a bike ride past it and took photos and called us and said, I found your location.
We've got Christian Kane chatting with us about this episode, so let's check that out.
It was a dark and stormy night,
this
Christian.
This was a big one, man, you know?
So I think it's time we talk about the Elliot and ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you. I mean, I assumed her name was Ship because we're shipping them. That was my assumption on the writers.
Yep. It's the same old ship.
Yeah, let's talk about this ship because... Yeah. I'm here for it. I'm sailing with it. I'm not going anywhere. And I believe that they are meant to be.
Man, It's a tough gig because, you know, Elliot's never really been with someone. He's tried to maybe just throw a line out there every once in a while. John Rogers has put it really, really great. Season two, people started asking about Elliot, and he stuck with this for 5 years. He said, Elliot's weekends are full. He's pretty good on a lonely night.
Mm-hmm.
But he says he's not going to bring that around. You know what I mean? And also, he has to protect people because people are still looking for, just like they're looking for all of us, they're still looking for him. And the easiest way to get through him is to hurt a team member.
Right.
Then he loses it, doesn't care about his life, and goes in to try to get them out no matter what. And if something happened like that, so Elliot really can't have. She, powerful woman that she is, I mean, I was a little bit reluctant in the scene to let her go off and fight on her own. I was like, why am I going over here when she's got this guy? I'm like, I got to stop that. As Christian Kane, I got to stop that because Elliot just trusts her to go take care of that guy, and she does. And it was fun, and it was really good working with her, man. She's such a talented actress, but she was game for all that kind of stuff, and it was fun.
She was such a great match. That's what I was literally going to say. Like, if it had to be anyone, it would be her. Good heart, working on the right side of things, a naturally good person who would make him maybe want to become a better version of himself. But like you said, he has denies things.
Absolutely.
Like,
and I'll tell you something else. A lot of that has to do with her just being in everybody's house for as many years as she was. You know what I mean? She's a talented actress, and everybody roots for her in the first place. You know what I mean? From Jane the Virgin. So I think that was a fantastic casting on their part, because you knew everyone that was on the couch was going to root for her no matter what, just because of who she is. You know what I mean? And then when she brings the acting talent that she brought, and you know,
she's, the fight scene, she was whooping tail too.
Yeah, she does know a little bit about how to fight. And
what would be more romantic for Elliot Spencer than a woman who knows how to fight like that?
We've seen that she knows who Elliot is without knowing the details. She knows that he's got a good heart. She knows that he is going about it the wrong way and beating himself up, but he's a good guy in his heart, and that's who he's trying to be.
Yeah.
And she wants to help bring that out, and he's, you know, he doesn't need to worry about her because she can fight for herself.
Yeah, but then he doesn't worry about that, not anymore. Now he's going to start worrying about her heart. Now he's going to start worrying about, is she okay, you know, emotionally, physically, like all. And so that, I think, could be his kryptonite, which might be fun to watch. I have no idea. We don't know. But she gave it a run for her money, man. She was very good, and the chemistry was there with both of us, you know, playing those roles. And we were always kind of struggling about, she's such a smart, she's at the top of her game. She's very intelligent. Why doesn't she ask more questions?
You know, she doesn't want to know.
Because she doesn't want to know. And that was exactly it.
B-I-N-G-O. It's time to play our favorite game and your favorite game, bingo.
We have an amazing nerd reference when we ask,
is there some kind of bat signal? We should have some kind of bat signal.
We've got even more from our interviews with Beth Riesgraf.
We got to see Parker in hand-to-hand combat, and we don't get to see like a ton of that, you know, like Elliot's our muscle. He's, you know, who's knocking skulls, knocking people's heads in the washer and the dryer.
Yeah.
But we got to see more of that. And then in a light tower, like, of all confined. But it would make sense that Parker would get into a fight in a small confined space.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
that was
so fun. I mean, it was brutally hard, you know, whatever, the conditions weren't easy, you know, being wet and it's cold out and you have to remain soaking wet the whole time or whatever. But our genius costume designer, Nadine Haters, and I had a conversation. We're like, what can I wear that isn't cotton that I'm going to be sitting freezing in? So she found this amazing Michael Jordan, you know, pleather jumpsuit that I wear, that black one, and it kept me dry for the most part, whereas poor Christian and everybody else was soaking wet. But
did they like respray? Like, did they like just like, oh, your hair looks a little dry? Did they like respray?
Yeah, they literally, you know, your pest control has a pump sprayer thing.
Okay.
They pump it with the chemicals and they spray for bugs. They had those with water and then little like Avion bottles and then spritz bottles. Yeah, they just, and you just get ascended upon. It's like five people spraying you down and you're just like, ugh. They're like, we know, just to go with it. And then they use like glycerin and stuff to help keep your face looking dewy.
Is the water cold? Is it warm?
No, they try to keep it warm. They're not total savages, you know. They try to help us out.
Ice water. Cold,
and they gave me hot water bottles, and it was great. But, you know, that lighthouse moment in the fight, we actually, that was being shot at the same time as another episode, and I got to, you know, the fight scenes were really fun up there. And it was really great because the camera guys, everybody has fun when we're doing something new like that. And we had this amazing new stunt girl come in who did all the exterior climbing stuff, and then I just had to do the one last bit of it or whatever. But it was pretty intense, that stunt. It was outside in the conditions, and they had these massive turbo fans.
I'll say, was there wind too? Because it's supposed to be during a hurricane, so you know, winds are crazy.
Yeah, the fans are huge. They're like 5 feet by 5 feet or whatever around, and they're just hundreds of miles an hour. And it really felt like I was on the set of Twister, you know, where I was like, oh my gosh, this is like really high production value. This is amazing. What are we doing? And they had guys standing by with the tumbleweed, so they let them go and then they blow. Like, it's, I get so excited about all that behind the scenes stuff. I love it so much. And so, yeah, Mark Roskin did a hell of a job directing that episode. It was a lot of fun, a lot of different moving parts on that. So by the time we got to that fight, we were actually on a soundstage doing the fight in a top of a light tower that they had built. Oh, wow. And they had rain machines and all the stuff still, but it was more controlled so we could start and stop in a safe
way.
Was
it any warmer?
Not really. Like a little bit. I don't want to be a baby. You know, it's fine.
We got a chance to sit down with Josh Scherer again this half season, so let's check out that interview.
We are so excited to be sitting down with the writer of The Hurricane Job, Josh Scherer. Welcome back to the After Show. It's great chatting with you.
Thank you. Great chatting with you guys.
This episode, you know, seems very relevant as there were lots and lots of storms happening. What was the idea of making an episode that kind of worked within what's currently going on down there?
Well, this was, if I recall, like it couldn't have been more than a week into the room being opened, where Kate was talking about, you know, we were putting all the episode ideas on a board, even if it was just, hey, we don't have much, but, you know, here's a log line or here's a world that we want to set something in. And she said, we got to do something, you know, that's sort of a hurricane episode, you know, maybe there's a heist or something like that. And, you know, and then it just sat there for a while as we went through myriad other amazing episode ideas and dug in on those. And then, you know, this one came around sort of later in the season when it became a reality that we were going to do it. She asked me if I wanted to take a whack at it. You know, I didn't want to do just sort of a straight heist, even though that was what was discussed early on. I kind of had this in my head to do a homage to Key Largo, which is, you know, a favorite film of mine from back, you know, from basically from when I went to school and learned about film and film noir and all kinds of stuff like that. And I just remembered it and it was like, oh, this would be perfect. It would be a perfect fit rather than doing just a sort of heist during a hurricane, kind of combine Key Largo with like a Die Hard, where we have our, you know, our physical characters in Elliot and Parker walking into a very strange circumstance that unravels as they, you know, as they join it.
Yeah, I love that connection of melding those two storylines. This episode also deals with police brutality. You take a very serious, very relevant issue and also turn it into a heist leverage episode. Can you talk about making sure it's not too dark?
Well, you know, the script goes through a lot of different iterations and you want to say something. You know, the leverage is all about saying something. It's all about pointing out strife. It's all about pointing out that there are people in need of the help of the team. I like to say our help. They are in need of our help, but in the series, they're in need of our help, the team's help. And you don't want to make it obviously too dark, of course, but you know, the actors are going to bring something. They're reading something that's on the page. They know what's at stake here. You know, they know you can't bring up this topic without really doing more than just scratch the surface. You have to be about something. You have to say something. You have to make a point. And, you know, I remember there being a time during my research when I'm sort of trying to figure out, like, okay, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? And what's relevant about this? If we're going to do it, what's relevant? And something that occurred to me was that, you know, Die Hard is the model for this, but in Die Hard, the cop is the good guy. And in our story, the cops are the villains. And, you know, that was something that it didn't blow my mind. It was just sort of like, wow, this is really interesting where we're at and what story we're, you know, we get to tell with this.
Okay, so we see a lot of new tech with Brianna now as our Gen Z hacker, but there was some old technology that was at you. So the radio, that's probably like one of my favorite things, because it was funny to me because I was like, how did they even know how to actually figure out this radio? And of course, the hotel owner would just randomly have this radio in the back around the corner by the freezer where our team has access.
Well, I mean, anytime you have if you want to call that a coincidence, maybe I don't know that it would be that it qualifies as necessarily a coincidence because of where these hotels are. They are right in the line of fire. I mean, in terms of a storm, they are out there on islands that are separate from the mainland. Like and given my understanding of ham radio technology, you know, if the phones go out, if other things go out, you know, the ham radio technology will still work. With regard to the team having a ham radio, we knew that was like a, well, we haven't really discussed this yet as a group, and we know the technology, you know, that Brianna is a big fan of technology, and there's, you know, it's like this is it feels right that she would have the emergency of all emergency tech, which is not high tech, it's low tech. And then it became like, well, are we going to have Brianna in the episode? No, she's not in this one. So what are we going to do? And it's like, well, let's just have it go off in the, you know, somewhere in the eaves of the of headquarters. And we had created and built the sort of attic space, the third story space for the Halloween episode. And it just was like, well, that's probably the best place for it. Let's have another scene or, you know, a series of scenes up there. And it worked out perfectly. And I, you know, it's just, we had in the script, we had on the board, you know, Sophie and Harry hear the noise and have no idea where it is. And it's just like they're looking at each other like, where is this beeping coming from? And you know, and then they have to find it. So lots of fun with that.
Yeah. I also love that we get to see Parker and Maria Shipp meet. can we talk about this and the ship? Because we know that I'm a shipper. So the ship of ship.
That meeting was, I mean, talked about again and again and again, like, what's it going to be? How professional is she going to be? You know, there's a whole discussion in one version of the story. I honestly cannot remember if it made it to the screen, but, you know, Parker was in the broken wing job in the first run of the series. And it was like, you know, Elliot wants to bring Maria Shipp in on this story, on whatever's happening to them right now. And Parker is like, no, no, no. You know, she's a U.S. Marshal. And Elliot points out, it's like, didn't you bring a waitress in on the, you know, that time when you broke your leg and Parker's like, I should have never told you that story. But, you know, there's a lot of fun in the dynamic of Parker obviously being curious about someone that Elliot, you know, may or may not be dating, obviously being worried that Elliot may not be dating a cop, you know, and that concern. And suddenly, if the villains in this story are cops and Elliot is allying us with one, where are the gray areas in the relationship that are going to be well examined by this story?
So keeping on track with Parker, we saw like her have a really physical scene, you know, in fighting. Usually, you know, we always say Elliot is our hair flips and fist punches, but we got to see, you know, Parker kind of enter that. So she's not just, you know, moving through and, you know, going through vents and grabbing things, but she's in hand-to-hand combat and we usually don't get to see her like that. Was that a moment you had on the wall and planned, or is that just something that like just naturally came up as the story progressed?
So when, you know, as we were doing this, I remember just sort of like the inside baseball of it all. We had plenty of Elliot fight sequences, as you know, one does when you're planning an Elliot centric episode. And I remember sort of being reminded by John and Chris Downey and John Rogers, that Parker is a badass. I mean, she really is. She is a physical specimen. She has to be for her job. You know, the strength that she has in her hands, the strength, the agility that she has in her hands and feet, these are things that we have alluded to over the course of, you know, the leverage verse, not just this season, but in seasons past. And, you know, Elliot has been, you know, we know he taught Hardison how to throw a punch. We know he taught Sophie how to throw a punch. You can bet that he spent a lot of time training against and with Parker. And, you know, even though I know that we've done physical Parker scenes before, I think that this will come as no surprise to people that she's this capable. And Elliot trusts her as being this capable. And that's something we really, really wanted to put on screen.
Yeah, it definitely shows. Well, thank you so much for joining us to talk about the Hurricane Job. We love having you here, Josh.
It's great to be here. Thanks. I hope you guys liked it.
We have more with hacker extraordinaire Brianna, better known as Elise Shannon.
I'm so excited. We are going to play 13 rapid fire questions with Elise Shannon. Let's jump into it.
Let's do it.
Okay. What is your favorite emoji?
The clown.
This is the most unexpected answer. What was your favorite character that Brianna got to play?
Tina. I named her Tina. She is self-named Tina. But the fire inspector with Beth, just because of the shake and go wig that I put on my head.
Your preferred platform, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok.
Insta.
Mm. Favorite person to follow on Instagram?
Oh, I like to follow Tomi Adeyemi. She wrote Children of Blood and Bone. She's a great, I mean, like if I was a writer, I would want to accomplish that. But that's the like good version. I think the other one is like kind of ASMR. No, it's the slime with the styrofoam balls. No, I like to watch, I don't know what the account is called. When people clean horse hooves, that's it for me. Prime content. And they like reshoe a horse?
We'll come back to that. Favorite breakfast food?
Fruity Pebbles.
The last text you sent a cast member?
It has to be Beth. And it had to be something crazy. I think it was this emoji.
Your preferred pizza topping?
Pineapples. Pool. I don't want to hear anything about it. It's pineapples.
Pool or beach?
I want to say the beach, but it's the pool.
Summer or winter?
Definitely winter.
Night in or night out?
Definitely night in.
In an alternate universe, which other leverage character would you want to play?
I'm going to say Elliot. No. It's not right. Is it? Is it Beth?
Is it a hybrid?
It is a new character called Sophelie Kerr. All of them.
What is a show you'd want to see Leverage crossover with?
Real Housewives of Potomac.
A dream guest star.
Dream guest star would have to be, I mean, I'd say Gary Oldman, because I just want to see him do anything and he'd be fantastic. But Queen Latifah came to my mind.
That'd be
Queen
amazing.
Queen Latifah is like so bomb, great. Right?
Like, but lit. Like, not for Leverage. Like, Queen Latifah.
I'd love to see her on
Leverage.
She's
done like some police-esque.
Yeah, she's a TV
type,
show.
Yeah, sure.
No, different.
Angela Bassett. I say Angela Bassett.
But this is what I mean. These are just dreams. These are dreams. Like, as far as Leverage is concerned, Michaela Cole. Michaela Cole.
I love that. Mechanical. Well, that's it. Those are the 13 questions.
Oh, I wanted more.
Now it's time to jump into our fan predictions and see what you forecasted for Leverage Redemption. Hey, we asked, I think, pretty good questions, but we decided to turn it over to you and ask your questions to the stars of Leverage. Check it out.
Hi, my name's Kathy, and I live near St. Louis, Missouri. My question is, what is your process for memorizing lines?
Good question, Kathy. Thank you. I will say what I do is I always read it through. You know, the second I get the script, I read it, and then I'll try to figure out what the shooting order is going to be. If I know we're going to, be starting at the stages, I'll dive into the HQ stuff and anything that we're shooting first there. And then I just read it as many times as I possibly can. And I have a great app that I use. Sometimes I'll just use Voice Memo and I'll record everybody else's lines and leave spaces where mine would go so I can just run it while I'm doing dishes or anything like that. And in the car to and from set, like I'm always recording like scene numbers and what they are. And then there's an app called Rehearsal, the Rehearsal app, Rehearsal Pro, which I think might have been developed by an actor. I can't remember, but it's great because it's almost like a teleprompter. And so you record, it beeps, and it just automatically will replay. And so I play that in the car sometimes. So that's really what I do. And then if I'm lucky, we get a second with the your scene partner on set. Hey, you want to run that scene that we have coming up in 2 days or whatever? So I'm lucky because we have scene partners right on hand that we can run stuff with.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's my process.
Thank
you.
Think
it's easier for you because, like, you've just lived with Parker for so long to just dive into her, like, and kind of anticipate a little of how she's already going to react or what she's going to say, or just know, you just know where she's going to take her pauses, as opposed to like somebody going into a brand new character trying to figure out all those little.
Yeah, I mean, I never try to anticipate the performance side of it. I always kind of let that be for when I'm on set and reacting to everybody, and because I know that these guys and girls are always going to throw me new things to play with, and I think so I never try to anticipate certain things like that, but I know, you know, I definitely break down the beats in the scene ahead of time and know what I'm going for. And then I always try to come with choices, because if you do get stumped, you know, ahead of time, like, oh, maybe I'll do this, maybe there's a moment where she could feel like this, but I won't practice feeling that way or anything like that. I'll just know that that could be another way to play it, and in the moment try something new. If they say, yeah, give it to us another way but different, you know, then you kind of have a couple of ideas you can try and play with.
A little variety there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, y'all, do you want to make a sandcastle?
No, I want to check out the fan art.
Okay.
The official Leverage Redemption After Show is part of the Electric Surge Network on Electric Now. We recommend checking out some of our other original content like Inglourious Treksperts, the 430 movie, and Best Movies Never Made. Finally, a very special thank you to Bill Ritter, Patrick Meany, and everyone at Electric Surge Network, our producers, Natalie Michelli, and of course, Dean Devlin, without whom this show would not be possible.
Thank you again for joining us on this very exciting episode of the official Leverage Redemption After Show, a very distinctive podcast.
That's right. Looks like we weathered the storm. And if you want to weather more storms with us, continue watching because, well, there's more episodes to watch. Keep binge watching, right?
Yeah. And find us on social media at After Leverage or at It's Felicia Michelle and at It's Yael Teagle. Until next time, this has been the official Leverage Redemption After Show,
a very distinctive podcast.